Nostril, which is the like a vital call with a cord and a speaker in their facilities and their houses, and they the company is changing to 5G. So regularly we're making those changes. So a letter went out 2 days ago to indicate to people this is what needs to happen, that's how you're going to work it and that sort of thing. And the changes will happen by the company itself. It's a huge task, but that's how we, an example of communication that goes up.
Did notify the residents when you lodged the application?
Absolutely. Well, I talked about it at meetings. Now, some people may not attend meetings, other people attend meetings, so we put it in the courier. Now, some people pay attention to it, others don't pay attention to it. You can over-communicate. I always believe sometimes you have to send the same thing 4 times for it to be read once.
And did you?
Sorry?
Did you send it 4 times?
Well, I didn't send anything 4 times, but we talked about it numerous times, basically, and we answered a lot of questions, and particularly from Jeff. I mean, I only, out of all these comments made, I only respect Jeff's comments because Jeff is our resident, and Jeff, we had meetings with him to speak with that and allay his fees, and also we ended up making some changes in order to protect his living in his current place where he is now. And that's really the crux of the matter at the end of the day, what is important for me as a CEO of Carrington, and it will be Jeff.
Any other questions, panel? No. Oh, we don't. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's the last speaker for item number one. Let's move on to item number two. Which is 3 Exeter Street, Camden. The first speaker, Joe O'Brien.
Thank you for the opportunity to address the panel on this item today. I'm speaking on behalf of Camden Historical Society again. We support the recommendation to refuse this development application, and we would like to thank Council for their comprehensive report and thorough analysis of the many issues. While we support local businesses, development should only be permitted if they are appropriate and align with the planning rules. This location is in the Heritage Conservation Area, the current cottage is contributory, and it should not be demolished when adaptive reuse is possible. The proposed shed was out of character and over height and not visually acceptable in the Heritage Conservation Area. Additionally, the site is in a floodway in a highly flood-prone area. The development would also have unacceptable traffic impacts and it would appear to be a prohibited use in the zone. All of these make the proposal unsuitable. We ask the panel to support the recommendation and refuse this DA. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks very much.
Any questions, panel? Thank you. Next speaker, David Nethercote.
Again, thanks for this opportunity to address the panel. It was with surprise and pleasure that I read Council's own assessment rejecting this DA. Other equally contributory cottages have had demolition orders recommended as the first option rather than, as outlined in the planning instruments, the last. The Council report not only takes issue with that request, but more generally points out that the application provides, in Council's words, insufficient detail. One detail the developer does provide is height, and this time, in a singular move, Council points out that the design contravenes 4.3 of the LEP. Here, one can only congratulate the officer for enforcing the LEP and other regulations. The result is a victory for the community and in particular for the neighbours. One of these is the Camden Town Farm and Community Garden, a picturesque model highlighting the town's rural history and its continuation. It is worthwhile pointing out that this is one of the entry points to Camden and therefore is a place where special care should be exercised. This cottage itself is not without significance, a typically modest example of early post-war design and one that additionally makes special provision for an important feature of the town, it floods. An inconvenient habit, but nonetheless a notable one that is effectively accommodated by the elevation of the brick cottage on a strikingly tall foundation. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Any questions, panel, for David? No.
Okay.
Thank you, David. Next speaker, Glenda Davis.
Oh, thank you. I'm speaking again on behalf of Camden Residents Action Group. We wish to take this opportunity to support Council's recommendation. We agree, and it's always been our reading of the LEP, DCP, Town Centre Urban Design Framework, case law, and what the heritage listing of the township describes as its significance, that they all preclude demolition of conservation area fabric without justification. However, as we often find in proposals in the conservation area, the DA's heritage impact statement claims without any justification that demolition of the cottage would have neutral impact. We have often argued, in accordance with Camden's planning instruments, that even if a heritage consultant is of an opinion that an original building does not necessarily contribute as positively as others, it is not arguable or acceptable to replace it with a new build that is not only unconnected to the town's history, but degrades the town's unique sense of place. We take this opportunity also to reiterate that the provisions of the planning instruments stand. Council has not adopted any policy that categorises individually unlisted items in the conservation area's fabric as contributory or neutral, nor one that supports any demolition that is not unavoidable or a last resort. It is unlikely that Council would adopt such a policy because, as well as being inconsistent with other Council strategies and policies, including Camden's DCP, it would not be consistent with the Borough Charter, which is the adopted underlying philosophy of heritage conservation that underpins heritage management locally in New South Wales and in Australia. Conservation areas are treated as significant as a whole, and piecemeal demolition within them is not supported by theory or accepted practice. An overheight industrial-style shed is not sympathetic and would obviously negatively contribute to the significance of the conservation area. Being at a main entrance to the 1840 town and opposite the town farm and close to many other listed heritage items, the visual impact and such heavy commercial use in itself is not appropriate to retaining the town's renowned and well-documented rural and heritage character. Clearly, also changing the course of a floodway and building in it is illogical and in any case absolutely prohibited under New South Wales directions on managing flood risk and Camden's flood risk management policy. Proposal to house even more vehicles on site, many of them heavy vehicles, would certainly exacerbate road congestion during a flood evacuation, as experienced during four floods in 2022. This DA is not in the public interest, and we trust that the panel will uphold the recommendation to refuse it. Thank you.
Panel questions for Glenda?
No.
Thank you. Thank you, Glenda. Last speaker, Michael Brown.
Thanks, Madam Chair and panel. I'd like to raise a couple of issues as raised by the two speakers about heritage. I'll bring to the panel's attention that this council has actually approved this. Sorry, first off, this site sits in Exeter Street. It sits between Edward and Elizabeth Street. Adjoining this property is the large shed that's a Lion Club's shed on an elevated site. I understand that. Yes. Next door is five sheds. Opposite is the Mitre 10 development site. At number 19 Edward Street, number 20 Elizabeth Street, and further afield from this site, 37 Broughton Street, the council has approved those dwellings to be demolished in a conservation area. The two sites in Elizabeth Street and Edward Street are flood affected as well. No different to the site. What we propose is a shed to replace the house, and the shed is less height than the shed next to us, is lesser height than the house that's on the site. It may be a fraction larger than the house it is now, but if flooding is an issue, certainly we can put aprons on the bottom of the shed itself to allow the water to flow through. The other issue is about the height. The height control in Camden itself is 7 metres, and this building is 8.145, and because of the height control, it's 14% variation requirement, or 14.1, yes. This council has developed land down the end of Carrington, there's been approval for a seniors housing development in the end of the Exeter Street on the corner of John Street. That's flood affected. That's 3 and 4 stories high, that building, and there's more development coming on. That site was the old high school site. Down the end of Exeter Street is a cricket oval that's been built by the council. It's raised, it sits next to the Nepean River, and is raised, filled with a very large building on the site. And if you look at down at Narellan Sports Centre, again you have a building down there that's large. It sits below the Harrington Park outlet structure, which is a flood control. That structure has a catchment of 240 hectares. So when it floods and it tops over, it goes through that building, and has a massive car parking around it as well. So the speed of flood increases going across the car park. I request that this actually matter be approved by the panel. If you don't support me, I would like you to defer it and go look at those sites I've actually mentioned, because I think it's important in the context of this site, of this application, for a shed that is in context with the character of where it sits currently. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Panel members, questions for Michael? Thank you.
The difficulty I see with this application is that a significant amount of fill has been placed at the rear of the site.
That's incorrect.
All right. Well, as I understand it, part of the application is seeking consent to the existing landform. If it's an existing landform, it doesn't need consent. So which is it?
There's a small part that, and the council staff are aware of this, when it comes in a flood, that back part is being filled with soil from other areas, and my client has actually then put some hard stand base on it because it's so muddy he couldn't move in there. So the fill, if you want to use it, is very, very minimal, and the same bit to that back section.
So does the application seek consent for what has occurred?
Well, as part of the application, yeah. We're shown on the plans that fills there.
Well, you'd be aware that the panel's not in a position to retrospectively grant consent to something that's already happened. that's been established law since...
I understand
since
that.
Before the EPNA Act was even came into force. But it's just... It presents a merit problem as well as a legal problem. So I just warn you that's the issue
I appreciate that
the panel has. Thank you.
Yes. In the refusal on number three in the recommendation, it says, in the absence of contamination assessment, the consenting authority cannot satisfy the land is suitable for the proposed development. A little bit about what was just recently mentioned. The contamination, and I know you would know, we would all know that living Camden, what Camden High School had to go through to get to what they are now. It was years and years of readdressing that land. So the contamination, I know if I want to put some soil on my little block of land, I have to make sure that it's all up above board. So has anything been lodged with council or any advice to council of how the contamination, according to council, has been addressed or will be addressed?
That's very simple. We haven't done a contamination report because the last meeting we had with council was heading in a refusal of the application, and so we chose not to go down that path. If the council wants a contamination report, certainly can do so. But that's the first step, as you know, is we do a preliminary site assessment and then a detailed one. So that would probably be bypass the preliminary one, go straight to a detailed and do some testing.
Years and years ago when I used to be on council, I used to try and get the message through to people, do your homework. Did this owner approach council or anything before he wanted to buy the land to ask what it was zoned for, what he could put on it? I used to see it often where people would go and buy something and then they can't do anything with it and they're just stuck with it. So did he do his homework before he bought the block of land?
I have no idea. I can't answer that question. I've only been brought onto it just to help get this thing through, that's all. And I'm unaware of the neighbours actually complaining about this application. All the complaints I've seen so far from either from Craig or from the society.
Thank you. I don't have any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Bye. We'll then hear now on item three, which is 2-14 John Street and 11 Elizabeth Street, Camden. First speaker, Joel Bryan.
Thank you for the opportunity to address the panel again today. I am again speaking on behalf of Camden Historical Society. In principle, we remain opposed to the continued consolidation of the buildings on this site, the old high school site. There have already been major concessions for the overall development, and increasing the density of the site is adding to the visual dominance of this complex and is at odds with its location in the Heritage Conservation Area. We maintain that this development is substantially different from what was approved and different to what was expected by the community. However, we are satisfied that the latest changes, as detailed in the agenda report, have addressed many of the concerns raised in our submission. The building's scale and bulk are reduced, the impacts on state heritage listed Nant Gwillan have been much lessened, communal space is increased and is on ground level, and the landscaping improved. The change to a more neutral and subdued colour scheme is especially welcome, and we hope this will be extended to the other buildings on site. We have received many comments about the dark and forbidding look of the current buildings, which emphasises their height and density rather than being recessive. Modern dark colours such as monument are not suitable for such extensive use within the Heritage Conservation Area. We thank Council staff for working to reduce the impacts of this latest modification and achieve a better outcome. Thank you.
No members, questions? Yeah, or Joe?
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Next one, David Nethercote.
Good
Thank you again for this opportunity. I'm trusting that the history of the development of the contaminated Camden High School site is known to the panel members. 4 minutes does not accord time to cover that. Ultimately, particular concessions concerning both bulk and height were pursued to make the undertaking commercially viable. Following negotiations, an acceptable design was found, though it exceeded both height and bulk allowed in the area. The design showed care to distribute the overhight portions, setting them sufficiently back from the road that there was minimal visual intrusion, and the overall design was deemed a tolerable compromise. There was one particular condition, however, that this was to be an exception, not a precedent. Subsequent history shows that memory is short. That particular clause has been forgotten, and not infrequently we find the high school development cited precisely as a precedent, as in a previous speaker. The LPP agenda states the development was a private development. However, the 2009 DA shows the design was to be integrated into the township as a living space where residents could enjoy both safety and security, but still feel themselves to be part of the Camden Township. Visitors would be invited to share facilities, including at one point a cinema, coffee shops and other attractions. Now, that ideal has been scuttled, and though the design to date does not quite reflect a gated community, there is equally no attempt to integrate an inclusive environment which originally had public access, public plaza and public community area. The model has slowly changed from inclusion to exclusion. The colour scheme, as originally proposed, was to be of sandstone colour, integrating with the predominant palette of the township. That has now been overtaken by battleship grey eminence, startling to townsfolk and visitors alike to the nearby Camden markets. There was an undertaking that the original buildings were to be photographed and recorded. This was a recognition that the old high school had been an important part of the town's memory, and of course an historic place for many students who had been schooled there. Challenged on this, the developer withdrew the DA modification to delete that requirement. And that now it seems that a photographic record is in the too hard basket and that the requirement is being ignored. And so a slice of history is literally lost in the dust forever. This is the Ninth Amendment, and judging by experience, will hardly be the last. So drastic have been these changes that there is a viable, not to say compelling, argument that the design should be submitted as a new development. In this modification, concerns about impact on neighbouring heritage listed Nan Gwynan of the proposed consolidation and breaking up of two residential developments into one mass may have been mitigated by changes that council have encouraged. However, at every stage we are faced with another modification. Although it is always argued otherwise, the community does not believe that what is appearing on the site is substantially the same as what they were led to believe in 2009. In fact, they find it shocking and incompatible with the town. We request that this modification be directed to stop and a new proposal for the site prepared. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Panel members, questions for Herda?
No. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Our last two speakers, David Benson and Belinda Thomas.
Hello, just checking. Good afternoon, panel members and Lady Chair. My name is David Benson. I'm a Principal and Director of Benson McCormick Architecture. We're primarily the principal authors of the application before Council for the modification of Buildings 4 and 6 under the original Master Plan. if I could, I'll just say that, let me just grab my notes on it. I'm obviously here to speak in favour of the application. I mean, our application was made in January of this year, and since that point, I think we have worked tirelessly and in good faith, and clearly as a collaborative approach with council in addressing items that were raised through their assessment. And I think that we've done that really successfully, and I think that it's testament to council's team and Ryan Pritchard in particular about the transparency in which we can have honest and robust discussions about design items and issues that have been not only raised by council but also by the community itself. I think that the modifications that have transpired since the original application has resulted in a much greater outcome, particularly when we're talking about materiality, bulk and scale, interfacing with the heritage of Nantgwellan. And I would say that there was a question about density. I mean, obviously we've reduced density. We're not actually asking for any more density on the site with this application that was previously approved with the buildings 4 and 6. But the buildings have actually increased somewhat in size, and that's largely to address current planning requirements under set and housing documentation, so standards for that. So where previously I think the master plan in 2009 wasn't perhaps addressing some of those items, or we didn't need to address some of those items, we're now faced with different planning controls. So look, I'd like to thank Ryan and his team. I think we've done a great job working together to get a better outcome than what was originally lodged. So essentially I'm just here to ask the panel if they can endorse council's recommendation, obviously with the modified conditions of consent, and certainly happy to answer any questions the panel may have in regard to this matter. Thank you.
Good afternoon, panel. My name is Belinda Thomas, and I am a town planner from Urbis, representing the applicant as well. And I'd also just like to reiterate the architect, David Bidson's comments, that we found that this is a really positive process with council. We worked really hard with Ryan Pritchard and the council's team to make further amendments to the scheme. We increased the setback of the built form from Nantgwellan. We relocated the massing from the eastern side to the western side. We increased deep soil landscaping. We increased communal open space. We retained the existing building height. And we felt that it was a really good, positive working relationship with the council. And we'd reiterate, we'd like the panel to endorse council's recommendation. The only point I just wanted to make on one of the previous speakers' comments was about the substantially the same comment. We believe that this proposal is substantially the same because the approved use does not change. It does not seek to change the building height. The density remains the same. So the same 28 apartments that was approved previously is being retained. It will not result in greater impacts on the adjoining sites, and will not adversely increase in any traffic movements. The proposal retains significant views to and from Nantgwellan, and no physical impact to Nantgwellan is proposed. No views between the site and any heritage items in the vicinity have been identified as contributing factors, and that will all be retained. We feel it's a really positive response and an improvement from what was originally approved, given the fact we're providing a better quality space for seniors living and responding to the current needs of seniors housing in the location. So again, we're here to happy to answer any questions, but we'd recommend and request that the panel support council's recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Belinda and David. Panel members, questions?
Yep. Can I just ask you, this business, that there should be some sort of public access or public utility on the site? You know what the basis of that was in the original idea of the site development?
Sure, I can answer that question. As some of the speakers here today have pointed out, this master plan has gone through a number of modifications, of which Benson McCormick have been part of. We weren't the authors of the original master plan document, and that master plan document did show that there were community facilities scattered throughout the whole of the development, including the underbelly of buildings one and two that have now been executed and are obviously facing Exeter Street. We also did a modification to buildings three and five, which we call now building three. And that did have some retail uses at the time, but they were substituted out for ILUs and was approved, and we gave grant planning reasons and commercial grounds for that. Buildings four and six didn't have any mixed use, if you like. We can refer to it as mixed use. So there has been some incremental change to that, but, you know, it's kind of like a death by a thousand cuts, and I know everyone in the room here is kind of perhaps feeling that a little bit about this particular site in itself. It is certainly the intent of the owners that this is the end of a completed stage within the master plan, and we will be going back and revisiting the whole of master plan next time, and that would continue to include those communities for which the original master plan was approved. There was another question too about the permeability of the site and the gatedness feel of the site. That's I find that a bit hard to sort of come to grips with, because the intent of the master plan in terms of the permeability and the public access into the master plan has been maintained. I'm sure there's been some connective tissue and there's been some joining of buildings, but that still does not preclude any permeability by the public to come in and change it and allow themselves access to this site. Certainly that's the case with the facilities that are underneath buildings one and two off Exeter Street. I mean, the general public's more than welcome to walk into and use those facilities. So there is permeability, and there's which is consistent with the original master plan in terms of public access. I'd just like to point that out too.
Thanks. Mr. Mezzanine, just on that question of buildings four and six, so as I understand it, the number of dwellings as approved and as sought to be modified remains the same, but they've just got larger, as in there's more gross floor area. Is that correct?
That's correct. In terms of gross floor, I don't know we've got an exact number on the gross floor area. It's kind of like the density is the question here. Yeah. And to answer your question, that's correct. It's 28 units that was approved as 28 units remains the same. I think that the amenity in those units is obviously superior to what was originally approved, because it's now living up to the current SEP standards and ADG standards for that matter. And the connective tissue, if you like, between the two buildings that's where we've got at grade communal breakout spaces and community rooms and stuff like that. So it serves much more a purpose. But to be honest,
back in 2009, the ADG wasn't even in force,
no,
was it?
No.
That's the date of the original consent, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
So we've got a number of new planning instruments that we need to adhere to, and the ADG is one of those. And I think if you look at council's assessment of that, I mean, where we are not specifically meeting the ADG objectives, we've certainly increased the amenity beyond that which was originally approved. And I think the courtyard the communal courtyard is certainly a very good example of that. So, yeah.
And Ms. Thomas, just in terms of this question of substantially the same, you mentioned use, height. Now, your reference to height, is that reference to buildings four and six or reference to the development as a whole?
To push the whole table over. It's in reference to buildings four and six, the height of those. The proposal is purely seeking for the change to four and six, and it maintains that height approval.
Okay, thank you.
I don't have any questions either. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And sorry, just one question for the panel. What's the next steps in terms of approval or decision making on this?
That's a good question, and that was part of my closing. But so after this, I think that both of you are the last speakers for today. So after this, I'll close the meeting, and then the panel will then decide on the three applications, and then minutes of the panel's decision will be posted on council's website within 48 hours. So that should be Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, that's Saturday, isn't it? 48 hours?
48 working hours.
Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for coming and for your time. And presenters, thank you for your presentation. As I said earlier, there's nothing else to discuss. I will now close the meeting. And the panel will then deliberate on these three items. So thank you again for your time and happy holidays. Bye.